Yes. Yes, October 22nd. Today, we're going to talk about my favorite werewolves, man. First off, Halloween is around the corner, y'all. We are super close as we have a little over a week. We have 9 days to go in Halloween. I have some bonus episodes on the way. Bonus episodes coming. So, today's episode, Fear of the Dead, the moon-changing howls, the history of the werewolf. All right, let's get into it. So, like all myths, the werewolf origin stories vary in their explanations. As depicted in the classic Wolfman, werewolves are created when the existing werewolf bites another human, transferring werewolfism as an infectious disease. On the other hand, some depictions make the disease an inherited one, like Teen Wolf, for example, perhaps with a delayed onset into puberty. Regardless, werewolves can change back and forth from monster to human form, undergoing a metamorphosis into the hairy, aggressive, ruthless beast. Only when exposed to the moonlight, or like 2 days ago, even right now, it's a full moon. As with vampires, werewolves are likely inspired by some combination of rabies and porphyrias. Now, as mentioned already previously, rabies is transferred by the bite of wild animals, which certainly sounds just like the story of how werewolves got started, how werewolves are made. Since rabies directly affects the central nervous system, it can cause brain disease like confusion and hallucinations and hypersalivation. And then you can have hyperphobia, which is a fear of water, which I'm probably going to put that on the next TikTok video now that we're thinking about it. So let's go back into porphyrias, because I mentioned it earlier. Now, it limits you from being out in the sun. It can cause excessive hair growth. And of course, you know, your skin and your teeth may be a little bit disfigured. Sounds like werewolves to me, right? Other real diseases that may cause excessive hair. No disease known to cause sudden rapid hair change in seconds and or minutes. Now, check this out. Hypertrichosis is a disease of hair covering the entire body. Now, kind of think about Cousin It from Adam's Family. That's a good example, right? Yeah, that's not a good example. Inherited forms of hypertrichosis, excessive hair, has been described historically as dog men or wolfman. And their families documented with such findings over generations and generations of this. Now, it is rare, and an acquired form of this disease can occur in reaction to an underlying cancer in the body. Now, this is known as a paraneoplastic syndrome, which is a manifestation of an underlying cancer. It's most commonly reported with colorectal cancers. I know. Hey. Now, let's get a little deeper. Should you fire a silver bullet to kill a werewolf? Now, you probably have seen on plenty of movies. You probably heard about it in stories. If you didn't read anything about werewolves, you didn't watch any movies, you always know about silver. But it's hard. In reality, it's hard to find any association of silver with any of the diseases mentioned. However, silver in the past has been used to treat wounds. And before the advent of antibiotics, silver was used as a disinfectant. More recently, though, silver has been used as a homeopathic treatment for a number of infectious diseases. But don't try it at home. But seriously, don't try it, because these claims are not evidence-based, but silver accumulated in the body can cause real issues with your body. Makes sense. It poison your body, right? Makes sense. Now, many so-called werewolves from centuries ago were in fact serial killers. And France had its fair share of them. So, in 1521, Frenchman Pierre Bergot and Michel Verdun allegedly swore allegiance to the devil and claimed to have an ointment that turned them into wolves. After confession to brutally murdering several children, they were both burned to death at the stake. That's common practice back in the day. You know, back in the 1500s, that's normal. Burning was thought to be one of the few ways that you can get rid of a vampire. I'm talking about killing them. Now, Giles Garnier, known as the Werewolf of Dole, was another 16th century Frenchman whose claim to fame was also an ointment with the powers to make you morph into a werewolf. Now, according to legend, as a wolf, he viciously killed children and ate them. He too was burned to death at the stake. I mean, it only makes sense, right? That's what they're doing, man. You're not about to be out here thinking you're okay. So whether Burgo, Verdun, or Garnier were mentally ill, they acted under the influence of a hallucinogenic substance, or they were just simply cold-blooded killers. I mean, it's up to the debate. I think they was killers. I don't think it's werewolves out here, but what do you think? But hey, it don't matter, right? Europeans during the 16th century, it's werewolves. It can only be committed by a werewolf. So, are werewolves real? What do you guys think? As mentioned before, the werewolf phenomenon started off in the medical field first. They also found a guy, a kid, a man, by the name of Peter the Wild Boy in 1725. And he was out there in the German forest wandering around naked on all fours. And a lot of people thought he was a werewolf, or at least he was raised by wolves, kind of like how Tarzan with the gorillas. But Peter ate with his hands and he couldn't speak. He was eventually adopted by the courts of King George the First and King George the Second, and lived out his days as their pet in England. Research has shown that Peter the Wild Boy, he likely had a syndrome called Pitt-Hopkins. Now, it's a condition that was discovered in 1978 that caused a lack of speech. It caused seizures. It caused distinct facial features. It caused difficulty breathing. And of course, it had its fair share of intellectual challenges by having this disease. Now, other medical conditions that could give you that little werewolf mania right here. Of course, food poisoning can do it for some. Rabies makes sense. Shrooms from hallucinations makes sense. And lycanthropy, and that's a rare condition that causes people to believe they're changing into a wolf. They could be other animals too, but for this, a wolf, because that's what we're talking about. Throughout centuries, people have used werewolves and other mythical beasts to explain the unexplainable. In modern times, however, most believe werewolves are nothing more than pop culture horror icons, such as the Wolfman. Still, to this day, it kind of sounded like my man, right? To this day, you know what I'm talking about? You boxing fans know what I'm talking about, Deontay Wilder. Anyway, still, werewolves have a cult following. Werewolf sightings are reported each year, and werewolf legends were likely to continue to haunt the dreams of people throughout the world. So since we had a full moon the other day, how did it make you feel? Did you feel like you was different? Did it make you feel like you was changing? Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, let's discuss the top five werewolf movies ever, according to Cemetery Tales Podcast. So let's take a break. Appreciate you. Peace. Y'all, we back. I want to say, hey, kind of got a little excited when we were talking about the werewolves, and I definitely said something out of pocket. So I want to say, hydrophobia is the fear of water. I think I said like hypo or something, but hydrophobia is the fear of water. So anyway, welcome back. And we're going to start with number five of the five best werewolf movies. Now, you may hear Blue Moon in the background, and that's for a specific reason. Because if you hear that song, you know what the number one movie is. So let's get into it. So, The Wolfman, number five. Now, and The Wolfman, my man Larry, he never asked to turn into a werewolf. And he spent most of his life trying to figure out a way not to only be cursed, but to go ahead and off himself and end his long suffering in the process. He was a man who had no power over the raging beast that was inside of him. Now, this movie was highly acclaimed for the groundbreaking special effects of its iconic transformation scene, and it's heavy on the atmosphere of old-fashioned spooky settings. I'll give you a couple examples. You know, the fog wreath graveyard, a dark forest, and the gothic dwellings. It's perfect, man. The Wolfman is arguably the best werewolf movie ever. I know. I know. And that's number five. I'm just saying. That's number five on the list. And it's arguably the best werewolf movie. It holds up today. I mean, it came out in 1941. You could watch that today and be like, I'm impressed by this movie. Plus, it gives you a different feel of the werewolf. Again, my man Larry Talbot, it gives you a different feel. You know, he's out there and you make you. Hey, those guys did a good job with the werewolf, the original, and Dracula, and the mummy, and Frankenstein. Those guys did a phenomenal job with those monsters. And I kind of like what they're trying to do with this new universe. I know right now, I think they had Invisible Man. They did the Mummy movie with Tom Cruise. The Dracula Untold, phenomenal Dracula. That might be the best Dracula movie. I know I didn't mention anything about that on the vampire episode, but that might be arguably the best, for me, Dracula vampire movie. I love that movie. It's phenomenal. But I'm waiting for the new Wolfman movie. But man, 1941, the original, phenomenal. Number four, let's talk about Dog Soldiers. Now, this came out, I was a senior in high school right here. And if someone ever asked me to give an opinion on the best looking practical effects of a full body werewolf, I'm gonna tell them to go watch Dog Soldiers. You know, you gotta watch it. I mean, the movie is not exactly character driven, I'll be honest with y'all. But the action, oh, it's action packed. Like me and my coworker, we talked about it today. One of the best scenes, this guy's out here fighting a werewolf with a broken plate. It's serious. Go watch the movie. It got the structure, y'all. It brought us the basic structure of Night of the Living Dead. So you got a group of protagonists, and they're in this raggedy old, rickety old farmhouse that's under siege by a large group of werewolves. Now, members of this squad are slowly picked off in a grisly fashion. Now, the only question is, who will survive? I mean, when you watch it, just watch it, man. It's stylish. And it's brutal, and it's a good way to jump on into the genre of a werewolf movie. It has a great action, and the design of the werewolves is phenomenal. From the bodies to the head shape, it's all wolf. It's great, man. Go check it out when you can. I need to upload a clip. I want you guys to really watch this movie. You know, again, I'm a werewolf fan, but you need to watch this movie. Let's go to number three. Number three is The Howling. Now, if you didn't know, in 1981, that happens to be the best year in the history of werewolf films. You got American Werewolf in London, you got The Howling, and you got Woofing, all released. And it's crazy that I wasn't even born yet. But anyway, The Howling is gritty, it's dark, and sadistically, I think that's a word, don't know if that's a word for sure, but it's humorous and just a solid overall werewolf movie. It's iconic transformation scenes are long, grisly, and they definitely look painful. It looks like it hurts. Just about everything else in the movie, it is phenomenal, man. Everything looks painful, kind of like how they threw the acid on the face. Watch the movie. I don't want to spoil it. But The Howling might be the most pure of all modern werewolf films. Serious. It got a single-minded focus on the blood and the guts, which give us the thrills. That's what we want. So number two, Ginger Snaps. I don't know if you guys heard about this movie. I was in high school when this movie came out. Now, Ginger Snaps, it is a high school werewolf movie, and it's not what you think. I need to wait before I even go into this, man. It's not what you think. I know it's a werewolf high school movie. It's not nothing like Twilight. At all. It's actually the complete opposite. So check it out. You got a pair of sisters, and they death obsessed. They love death, but they outsiders. Now, Ginger and Bridget, now they face with issues of growing up, being more mature, and they have like a sexual awakening when Ginger is a werewolf. She begins to become bolder and more animalistic in her desires. The second Meeker sister searches for a way to reverse the damages before Ginger carves a path of destruction through their community. I will say, Ginger Snaps does have a top-notch story, and the horror makes this a must-see for the werewolf genre. Now, going back to number one, again, you heard that. Sam Cooke right there. Number one on the list of the best werewolf movies is American Werewolf in London. It's maybe the best werewolf movie of all time. I mean, it is number one on this list for a reason. Now you have a beautiful combination of a dark humor and horror with a mix of a little bit of grit, and of course, a heck of a story. It's magnificent. Okay, so let's get into it a little bit. Now, you got two travelers. They was backpacking, and they was attacked by a werewolf. Now, one of those backpackers was killed, and the other, if you guys watch the movie, you know his name is David, is affected with the curse of the wolf. Now, haunted by this unnerving and these hilarious visions of his dead friend, David must decide how to come to terms with the monster he has become, even as he strikes up a relationship with a beautiful nurse. Now, the key moment is when he has this painful, traumatic transformation. Set to, as you heard in the background, Without a Dream right there, that is Sam Cooke right there, and that is Blue Moon. That whole scene, man, is a beautiful, beautiful scene. It shows the full transformation right there. It's a big deal, man. If you didn't know, this film won the Academy Award for the best makeup and hairstyling back in 1981. You gotta give this movie its props, man. It's good, man. It's damn good, man. This is a American Werewolf in London is a pretty damn good movie, man. The werewolf genre, man. You gotta give it what it is, man. I know we got some submissions, man. I had, I was doing some research, man, and I seen some people had, Underworld or, Twilight. It's like, I'm not exclusive, man. I'm not exclusive werewolf movies, man. I seen, I talked to one guy. He's talking about Curse, and I'm like, man, I'm not a I said, I only like Maya. That's the only thing. I didn't like the movie, man. I didn't like the concept. Christina Ricci was good. I got people in the actresses I like in the movie, but nah, man. These five movies, man, is everything, man. From the Wolfman to the great designs of Dog Soldiers to the Hideling is a phenomenal movie. Ginger Snap's got a phenomenal story. It's a magnificent story, man. And then another even better story, the number one movie on our list, American Werewolf in London. So let's take another break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk briefly about the full moon and how it affects us, and then we wrap up this episode. It's been a great episode so far. We wrap up this episode. I wanted to say real quick too, it's very important that as we listen to these podcasts, that you guys always remember to follow us on Facebook, on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. So let's take this quick break and we'll get back into how the moon affects your body. All right, now, excuse me, welcome back to the from that break. Now, let's go into how the full moon affects your body. Now, the idea that a full moon can stir up emotions or provoke some kind of bizarre behavior and even cause some kind of physical illnesses, it isn't just a literary trope. It's a strongly held belief. Even today. In fact, one study shows that nearly 81% of mental health professionals believe that the full moon can make people sick, can make people ill. As powerful as this ancient belief appears to be, there's little science to back up that theory that the full moon can cause a swift uptick in emergency room visits or some kind of mental health unit admissions. But here's what researchers have found about the moon effects on the human body and also the human behavior. Now, in regard to sleep, the full moon can have an effect on your REM, sleep latency, or your rapid eye movement. Now, this means that it takes longer to get to your REM sleep. Now, this can cause issues such as sleep apnea, for example. Just one issue, of course. The full moon also has been linked to lower blood pressure and heightened anxiety and depression. Have you ever felt any of these during the full moon? I personally haven't, but I do know some people that things change for them during the full moon, and maybe because it's so close to like a lot of like cycles when it comes to women. I don't like to use the P word. I like to say cycles. It sounds better, right? It makes more sense to say it that way. So I know it gives an uptick to some women's sexuality during those times, as well, just because of the cycle. Just like you see that some of the sea creatures move along that lunar cycle as well. Well, I want to wrap up this episode. I just want to get that real brief thing about how the moon affects your body and a couple of little things that it does. But I want to wrap up this episode. I want to say, go check out those five best werewolf movies from this list and give me your opinion. You can check me out. Go to my email if you want to, and I'll respond at cemeterytalespodcast@gmail.com. It's important that you put podcast. Again, it's cemeterytalespodcast@gmail.com or any other social media platform. Again, we are at Twitter. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and we are on YouTube. Now, quick little message. Now, if you want to give a donation to the show, you can always do that through Spotify, or you can go through our Cash App, our business Cash App, and it's Cemetery Tales. That's our Cash App if you want to donate to the show again, or you can go to Spotify and donate through our sponsorship that we have. So I appreciate you for listening today, and catch my next couple episodes. Now, I got three episodes coming, and they're going to be about the haunted locations that's in Canada, the haunted locations that's in Australia, and then the haunted locations that's in the United Kingdom. Now, I don't have like a set number. I mean, I do, to be honest. Like in Canada, I got six of them that we're gonna talk about. As we move into the United Kingdom, we have nine that we're gonna talk about, and then as we move across to the great country of Australia, we're gonna go through seven, which is gonna include the Devil's Pool. And as I did research, man, the whole thing with the lady that's dragging them people into that water, it's a great story. So we gotta talk about that. But appreciate you for listening to the podcast. Hey, this is about werewolves, man. This is my favorite. I love some werewolves. I need to watch a werewolf movie. But I think the next movie I need to watch, which I probably said it on a couple episodes ago, man, I still haven't seen Halloween Falls, man. The one thing that make Michael Myers special, I know I'm supposed to wrap this podcast up, and we're talking about werewolves, but I need to say this. The thing that make Michael Myers special, just like Jason, they wearing these masks and you cannot see their face, and they void of emotion. They some stone cold killers. That's what make the movie great. No emotion, you know. Anyway, catch me on the next one, man. This is the Cemetery Tales Podcast. I appreciate you. My name is Gerard Terrell. If you want to follow me on my own personal, you can. Again, Facebook is Gerard Terrell. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, just type in my name, Gerard Terrell, Jarodterrell. All right, thank you, and I'll see you in the next one. Or when you listen to it, peace.